Good morning and welcome to each one. Are you okay to shuffle the service a bit today? Is that okay? Brother Junior Waldner is with us from Fulton, South Dakota. And we look to the Lord to speak to us through our brother. Stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we can be here today. And Lord, we believe that all of us are here, not by accident, but by divine appointment. And Father, we ask in the precious name of Jesus that in your tender mercies, you would visit this little flock here at Charity Christian Fellowship and the visitors, all that are here together with us today. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, illumine to our hearts the blazing light and glory of God to expose any darkness and bring us into oneness and harmony with you in every area of our lives. Lord, we look past our brother Junior and we look unto Jesus, and we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon our brother and upon the word of the Lord and upon each of our hearts. Oh God, do not pass us by. We are needy. Speak to us, Lord. Chasten us, Lord. Comfort us, Lord. Whatever we stand in need of here today. You're the God who delights to meet all of our needs. And you're the God that is able. There's nothing too hard for you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Junior, God bless you.
Absolutely amazed at how God works, His wonders to perform. I'm just trusting the Lord. He's going to touch our hearts here today. The Lord has given me such a burden in my heart for this word. And I know He's going to speak to our hearts, our lives. I think God wants me to share a little bit of my testimony, just briefly. So not everybody of you knows where, so much who I am or where I'm from or all that. But God saved me back in 1995, July of 1995, through a tape Brother Denny preached on marriage, courtship, and marriage. And he showed me I need to get married to Jesus. And when I came to the Lord, I always had this feeling in my heart that I want to go all the way with Jesus. I am not satisfied with anything less than all that God has for me. And it's been a motivating, pushing factor in my life. And whenever something would get in the way, I would say, Lord, I'm going to walk away from it. What do you want? And I've walked away from businesses, from plans, from ideas, from all types of decisions, just because I feel like the church needs to be more radical in a life of obedience. And the message this morning is going to be linked to that, is a life of faith, a life of obedience. There's so many things God wants to do through us, but the church is lacking because of a life of obedience. And God is going to speak to our hearts today. God is going to speak to your heart today. And He's going to show each and every one of us why God cannot be moving more fully through us. And this picture is vaguely, I was out here on a tub. I remember jumping into it, waiting a year and a half to get baptized. And Brother Mose baptized me out here in this concrete or in this driveway on a large tub. I remember jumping up and saying, you know, what a joy to serve the Lord. But there's many things through life that kept getting in my way. But first of all, getting saved on that tractor. And I knew all along that this life of faith is not easy. There's a lot of things we run into, but what are we doing? How are we serving the Lord in obedience? I want to have a word of prayer in Wakinya. I can sense a resisting spirit. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would have freedom through your word. We bind every spirit of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I pray your word would have free course in every heart. I thank you for every believer that is here, Lord, and I pray that through your precious word and the word of truth, God, that you would bring us into full liberty in Christ. I thank you, God, for all that you've done in and through each one of our lives. I thank you for the influence that even these brothers here, Father, these older brothers have had in my own life. I just praise you, Lord. But I pray today, God, that you will give us nuggets of truth, God, that we may enter into the fullness that you have for us in Christ. Shelter me and keep me, Father, underneath the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, I thank you. And welcome to this service here. I am excited. I thank you, Brother Aaron. I tend to start preaching before I need to share some things. Thank you, Brother, for the influence. Thank you, Mel. All of you giving me the opportunity to share here. It's a joy, and the Lord laid it on His heart to give me a little bit more time maybe this morning so that I could have free liberty. And I'm excited that because during the night, the Lord just kept the Word was just flowing through my heart, things God wanted me to share. And there's this fear that wants to fight against the Word of truth, because when the Word of God is preached properly and it's truth, people get set free. And we as Christians, there's two opposing forces. There's not just Christians and lukewarm Christians. There's simply enough the obedient and there's the disobedient. Inside of churches even, there's disobedient Christians. And this morning, I'm going to focus on that a little bit in our lives. There's so many believers that are not walking in full obedience. The Bible does speak. Why does Jesus lift up the standard before us? Be ye holy as I am holy. Is that something we can strive for all our Christian life, or do it's impossible to attain? Be ye perfect as I am perfect. I believe what God is asking us for is to live in absolute obedience. I believe the Christian standard, the Christian standard, the one and the only, is living inside the will of our Heavenly Father. And those are the ones that are going to go to heaven. Who? Those that have done the will of the Heavenly Father. When you get born again, the Spirit of God quickens you and makes you alive. But you have not arrived. It says we're given the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. So you've been given spiritual power through the Holy Spirit quickening within you to start making the right choices. When you're born again, you have not arrived. It's a life of faith and it's a life of a battle. There's two opposing forces in the enemy, and we are right there on the front line. The church is in the front lines. So how can the church be most effective? And I'm going to phrase this a number of times today. It's this simple. His servant you are, to whom you what? Obey. So what happens? What happens when a Christian is resisting and is fighting or is not yielding himself wholeheartedly to God and to His will? What happens there? And I want to look into the Scripture and look at different phrases of that, because I've always wondered, why is it that we have, first of all, the gospel? Jesus commissioned us as the church to go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, and deliver those who are captives to the devil. We have a commission to deliver people, to heal people, and to preach the full gospel. And I've always wondered, why is it that in believing all of the gospel, why am I not seeing more healings? Why am I not seeing more people being delivered? And there's this nagging thing in the back of my heart that, like, Lord, something seems to be missing. And over time, I just began praying and meditating. And God, what is it? Why is the church not healing more people? Why is the church not delivering more people from the grips of the enemy? And let me tell you, the enemy is so close battling. And there's this saying that some people think the devil is behind every tree. Don't think that he is this or that. But I want to know that the enemy attacks the Christian in a real way. We are underneath attack from the enemy again and again. And when we neglect any part of the commission, we become we cannot be fulfilling the whole. So there's ministries that will focus on, say, a ministry, they call it the ministry of healing. But they will not preach the full gospel. The teachings of Jesus on non-resistance, on marriage and divorce, remarriage. There's a lot of... The teachings of Jesus are a foundation that the church needs underneath itself to stand solid and strong through the eons of time. It's the foundation. But it doesn't take away from healing the sick and cleansing lepers, casting out devils. There is a commission of the whole. And so, I used to look out there, why is it that there seems to be healers doing this? Why is it that this is happening out there? Do we need to let this go? Are we too, legalistic, this and that? But no, they work hand in hand. And different groups take different sections of Scripture and run with it, and sometimes neglecting the other. It's a full package. We cannot let go of anything Jesus taught us. We need to fulfill His Word entirely, walking in obedience to Scripture and to His truth. That's why there's people out there in the name of Jesus doing amazing things, but those movements never last. Why? Because there's teachings missing. There's truth missing. Underneath the bottom line is truth, all the truth that God has given us. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that after the Spirit has come, He's going to guide us into what? Into all truth. There's not going to be truth missing. Inside of truth, and inside of truth only, is there freedom and liberty. We cannot walk in liberty without truth. And you cannot see the truth until God reveals to you the truth through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will not reveal truth to you if you're not walking in obedience. It all links together. You can say as long as you want that I have faith. If you have no obedience, you do not have the real faith. Real faith leads to obedience. And obedience leads to more truth and more revelation of truth. And the more truth you have, you enter into a life of freedom. And so now you have Christians that you can walk up to them. This troubled me so many times. I would ask a Christian, after you believe, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? At this time, are you walking? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? So few Christians can say yes. They're not convinced that they're full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why is that? Why are there so few Christians that are not walking in faith? The Bible says He gives the Holy Spirit to them that what? Obey Him. So are you telling me you're not walking in obedience? When you're confessing to me, you have no idea if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Are you telling me you're not walking in obedience then? How in Galatians told them, how does He minister the Spirit to you among you? How does He do miracles? By the hearing of faith. Faith and obedience. Walk in obedience to the Lord. And this is not legalism. It's simply enough. The life of Jesus. Jesus had unlimited faith, power, and anointing because of His life of obedience. He absolutely did everything underneath the will of His Heavenly Father. And some of you sitting here, and you know this, you're not fully yielded in one area maybe of your life. And God is going to reveal those things. As I want to share some of these truths, I like to show you, and there's a lot of conflict. There's been a lot of conflict in teachings that I've tried to find my way through. And I want to mention this just as a thought or something that the Lord brought to my attention. I was sitting here. Before Brother Denny died, I had a meeting with him. And there was a bit of a controversial teaching that was had about spirits and their influence. You remember that, Brother Mel, a little bit? Anyway, he was sharing with my wife, and he was dealing with different spirits of infirmity or spirits of different spirit of fear, a spirit of anger, and those type of things. And I was wondering what is behind that, And he was sharing that it's a little bit controversial, but I'll pray for you. And he prayed for me and my wife. And those things kind of got stuck in the back of my heart. And what is all this? How are Christians influenced by the enemy? Is it real? Is it actually real that a Christian who is born again, has been baptized, can still be underneath the influence or demonic strongholds? And I began searching, I began praying, and I fasting, praying, Lord, what is the truth? And in the process of, and just for some more examples here, I'm wondering if I should go to the Word or examples. But anyway, there was this Christian that we baptized a number of years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And one time as we were praying with her, and there was these thoughts that kept coming to her during the night. You need to go back to the colony. You need to go back to the colony. You need to go back to the colony. It's a place of security. It's a place of security. And where are those thoughts coming from? Do any of you know? They're from the devil. They're from demons. Demons, the enemy has ground to work from when lies are believed. When a Christian yields to demonic influence, to lies of the devil, you're giving him legal ground to operate in your own life. That is a fact from Scripture. I'm going to take us to some Scriptures concerning that. And I've seen it. And the reason I'm sharing those things is because I want God's people to be free. And there's things in my own life. I had battled in my life with the spirit of lust. And there's times I had given in and then overcome. And I'd learned to fully control it. But I felt something inside that wasn't quite right. And there's Christian men that will battle with that for years, not knowing what's going on. Let me tell you, you cannot deny away a demon, and you cannot rebuke away the flesh. The flesh has to be denied, and demons need to be asked to leave by the authority of God's Word. There's two different principles in operating in both. And I think I'm going to quickly, just so I'm not losing you in thought or in mind or whatever, I'm going to turn some Scriptures to Matthew 16. We'll look a little bit at the life of Peter here. I want to give you some insight into this warfare. And I want to share today how the Holy Spirit can help us in battling on the front line. God has given us the Holy Ghost. Just think about this through the message. Jesus was completely full of the Holy Spirit and power. It was not given even by measure to Him. So He could see precisely what was going on in the heavenlies, in the enemy's kingdom. And in warfare it is that way. When there's a war being fought, one of the main tactics is trying to figure out what is the enemy doing. So you had the Morse code, you have that machine that Hitler had, and he was sending codes across the waves, trying to hide what they were doing from the Allies. And through a scientist and different things, they were able to unravel those codes and figure it out. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to us like it is right here in the life of Jesus to know exactly what the plans of the enemy are and what the enemy is doing. If you look at the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment, the gift of wisdom, all the gift of discernment, it is so you can understand and know clearly what's going on. Christians do not need to fight without knowing what's happening, without knowing what's going on, just blindly beating the air. It's not right. You as a Christian need to have the knowledge and understanding, and as men, even in your homes, God wants you to see a clear picture. And if your own heart and life is not clear and free, you cannot see a clear picture. We have to be free in Christ for the Holy Spirit to operate. You have to be absolutely, perfectly, perfectly obedient. And the Spirit of God is 10 times more sensitive than you might realize. It is so sensitive that Jesus said, "He that looketh has committed adultery." Why? Because the Holy Spirit is defiled and He will not live in an unclean vessel. And you will not operate through an unclean vessel. And when you listen to the enemy, your heart and mind gets defiled and unclean. There's no room in a Christian's life for disobedience.
And for lukewarmness and for the middle of the road Christianity, there's two sides and you're serving one or the other. You're loving one and hating the other. Or hating one and loving the other. And his servant you are to whom you're going to obey. So if you have a Christian are yielding, and you look at Peter here now. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how they must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders. So Jesus here is prophesying a future truth, something that's going to happen. And Peter talking and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord." The enemy was working its way through the emotions of Peter, contradicting the Word of God, contradicting Jesus. And that's how the enemy works. He works through our emotions, through our eyes, and through our hearts, trying to get in there and gain ground. Why? So we listen to his thoughts. It's a battle of the thought life. Bringing every single thought into the obedience of Christ. Was Peter doing that? No. His mind was yielding. As Jesus was speaking, Peter's mind was saying, "This cannot be," in his own heart and mind. And finally, he opens his mouth and he reveals what the enemy had planted into his mind. And he says, he said to the Lord, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Who was speaking? Through Peter here. It was Satan. It was a demon. It was an influence from the enemy. It was a stronghold in his mind. And Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, revealed it. This mindset is of the devil. "Get thee behind me, Satan," demons. "Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So here Jesus did not deny himself away this demon. He realized and he simply rebuked it and told it to leave. That's how simple it is. You are full of authority. If the enemy tells you to commit sin, to say, "Get thee behind me, you spirit of lust. In the name of Jesus." And then leave. "You have no part or lot in my life." And then at the same time also, he said, "If any man will come after, let him deny himself." Here's how you close the doors of your heart. You live in self-control, in taking up the cross, and following Jesus. "Whosoever shall deny himself, take up his follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Through Peter's emotions, the enemy had come in there. And Jesus basically told him, "Don't hold your own life dear to yourself. You don't need by this defending me in your life." But it was contrary to the will of God. And the Spirit of God works the same way today. There are people that speak, and you know as you listen to them, this is not truth. This is not motivated by the Lord. And let me give you another example. And there's I don't even know how to say it respectfully, but down in Finger, Tennessee, a man just blew his head off in the church there. And shot himself in the head, which committed suicide. But before that, he was dealing with depression. Okay, this was a Christian brother, one of the brothers in the church there, but dealing with depression. So these demons come and they try to convince people, "You're nothing, you're this and that." And you can't deny them away. You can't. You can just bind them in the name of Jesus and tell that spirit of suicide or death to leave. Demons attack people. And the end result is what? Death. Satan has come to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. If you think for 1 minute that there's any other kingdom involved, there's not. There's two kingdoms, there's two influencing powers. It's from the Holy Spirit of God which produces righteousness, truth. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and full and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of the enemy. And I remember another guy that had preached in our pulpit that's in Wisconsin prison right now. And he had given into a spirit of anger and got out of control here and there. And one day he got angry at his factory worker, he was at his boss, and he decided to go out into his vehicle and get a gun. And when he made that decision to pick that gun up, he said he had no more power over his body. He literally walked in and killed that person and shot somebody who's in prison right now
in Wisconsin. And what happened? A spirit of anger. Was it of the Lord? No. Was it his own personal decision? To a point. You make personal decisions, but you can give place as a Christian. This was a born-again Christian that had preached at Fulton Christian Fellowship about a decade ago. But he had not put himself 100% under authority, and he had allowed a spirit of anger in his life. So the enemy, God is watching from the heavens, and the angels and the demons are watching. And as you yield your life to disobedience, you're giving legal ground for the enemy to operate. It's not just your own decision to go and do that. It is, but what I'm saying, things happen behind the scenes. Why does Paul warn us in Ephesians, give no place to the devil? Let him that steals, steal no more. What are you giving place to when you steal? Let me ask you a question. Where's that place at? Where's the place that you just yielded to? It's an area of your life. And then he goes on about not letting anger your life. Same thing with bitterness. There's so many sins that, and Paul says we're not ignorant of all the enemy's devices. We're not ignorant of him. He's the enemy through bitterness can implant himself in the life of a believer and start influencing. The Bible, when it speaks about the word possession, being possessed with the devil, it's the word demonized. If you look at it in the Greek, it's the word demonized. And there is stronger influence, there's lesser influence, and there's little influence. So the amount of ground that is surrendered to the enemy is the legal ground that he has to operate in. That's why we cannot give place. I want to take you to an example in the Old Testament, how God revealed some of this to me. Let me read it. Let me read you some scriptures in when God told the Israelites to go and possess the land. I can't find these scriptures right now. Actually, I think they're in my phone. I don't have good notes. You know what? I think I know where the scriptures are. I'll actually read them if I could find them. Sorry, I lost it. So I'm just going to quote those verses. But I think it's towards the end of Deuteronomy 33, verse 55. I think I'm right. He told them, if you're going to allow the enemy areas of the land, they're going to be pricks in your side, thorns in your side, and they're always going to bother you. And if somebody can find those scriptures, well, that is mentioned. It's two verses there. I think it's in Deuteronomy 33, verse 55 or 56. And it speaks about taking over the whole land. And it said, if you let one section of the enemy in there, they're always going to bother you. Okay? So, when you were born again, you step out of Egypt, you cross through the sea, then you enter into a life of battle where God is desiring to have all of you. Okay? So as the Israelites started fighting, you saw Achan there, given into sin. And what happened? One sin. What happened? This is the Spirit-filled life that God has given us a picture of. What happens when there's one simple disobedience in the whole of the camp? They cannot fight and win a single battle. Why? Because their obedience is not fulfilled. We need to be ready to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. When you're walking in absolute perfect obedience, you're then a soldier in the army, ready to walk, ready to do at your commander's will. I'm here, Lord. There's no other distractions. I've put it all out of my life. Here I am. And you know that would never work anywhere else in the U.S. Army. If your allegiance was in two camps, your obedience was to two captains. Your will is over. You joined the special forces. You have signed your life away. If they tell you to jump into the sea and nobody rescues you, you're there. I'm serious. And soldiers give their life. There's this one king that wanted to win a battle. And he as they were facing each other, he told one of his soldiers, go and kill yourself. And the soldier went and killed himself. He told another one, go and kill yourself. Then he asked the other king, will your soldiers do that? And he said, no. And they won the battle without a fight. I'm not sure if you read about that battle, but it's absolute allegiance. And Jesus requires exactly the same. You cannot, as a Christian, allow the enemy into your life. And what I became convinced of, the reason God's people are not experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is there's areas the enemy can still operate in through different levels of influence. Let me give you a very simple one. A spirit of insecurity. So the enemy, you come out of a Hutterite colony and you're very insecure. You don't know what's going to happen financially, all that. So you start, your first focus is, I'm going to get a lot of money, get a good job, and just provide for my family. And I also need a security system in my home. I need to go buy into this program. And you start making decisions after decisions that are not motivated on the teachings of Jesus. Jesus says, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I struggled so incredibly when I saw brothers signing up for life insurance packages. What do you do with the Sermon on the Mount? Those things are giving ground to the devil. Buying a life insurance package can be telling the Lord, I am not quite trusting you. I'm serious. Yes, you can have it in your life and still go to heaven, but you're going to live a life that's lower than what God has for you. Do you think Jesus had a life insurance package? How about Paul? How about Peter? Think about it. Look at the disciples. This is our call. It's real and it's practical. If you're not obeying the teaching of Jesus, you're giving ground to the enemy. And you can reason away all you want to. The enemy has been teaching Christians how to reason for 2,000 years. They know exactly how to do it. He knows all the excuses that are needed, but you're not listening to God. Go and read the Scriptures. Do exactly what God asks you to do. And I'm not asking you to do more than that. I'm serious. I do believe 100% in putting food on my table. But I tell you what, business has taken a different priority in my life over the years and lately even more. I just don't care. Because we're here to raise the dead, preach the gospel, and to heal the sick and to preach the gospel of Jesus. There's higher priorities. And Christians are so busy doing exactly what the Americans do. We need to walk in obedience. And I'm not saying there's no Christians here doing that. But I'm challenging us to a life of obedience and telling you there's no middle ground. You cannot be sitting in the middle and saying, oh, I don't think I need to be doing this. I don't think I need to be doing that. Just stop reasoning. Get on your knees and say, God. And I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God wants all of you more than you realize. Why? Because if He can have dedicated soldiers that are absolutely, perfectly obedient, can you imagine what God could do through the church? And the enemy is going to fight nail and tooth to try to derail our lives of consecration. It's unreal. The attacks of the enemy, when you start getting into real warfare, how you'll see the enemy, but God's going to reveal those things to you. I'm not kidding you. God will show me this specific enemy, demon, is attacking one of your sons. And I'll go meet with my child and tell him, my teenager, this enemy is attacking you. Here's how he's doing it. And God will reveal truth to you like you have not imagined. But I was sharing this a little bit with Aaron, but I want to tell all of you. God will not reveal truth to you if you're not fully surrendered and obedient to what you know. And if you've not learned to sometimes keep quiet. God will reveal truth to you that is very, very personal in people's lives. And it's not for public information. Christians gossip. And this slander. And they speak evil one of another. They've not learned to control their tongue and the things that they say. Their tongue has not been yielded to God. And James says, the tongue is a world of iniquity. It can do so much damage. How can God reveal truth to you if you're going to hurt other people with it? How many ministers are doing that? God, they may have a gift of discernment or seeing things, but then they start spreading information that's only damaging and not building and edifying to the body of Christ. It's a war. And every decision we make, is this going to further the kingdom of God? Is this my captain of my salvation going to be happy with this choice? Is Jesus going to be blessed? Is his smile of approval? You know, it's precious walking that way. We don't have to be fighting blindly, beating in the air. God can reveal truth. As the Lord has been revealing truth and even demonic forces working in our congregation, I was preaching on some of the specific items. And people start repenting. Because they're seeing that this decision here to buy a motorcycle or whatever it is. You know, I knew in my heart, just laying out a bunch of laws, it works in a family. But it doesn't always work in a church. But what if you preach about the root issues? What if you go for the heart? What if people see that they're feeding the devil and defeating the works of Christ in people's lives? People don't take their sin seriously enough, or their decisions. And we need to do that. God wants to break all the powers of the enemy in each one of our lives so that you're truly, truly free in Christ. Because it's a battle. And the ultimate goal for each one of us is to be like Jesus. God wants you to be like Jesus, like His Son. And He says, when He speaks about sanctification, He says, because He's provided sanctification for us, He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Why? Because we've been made like Him. God had to deliver me from following people. I was coming up against stops. Where I'll be looking to people, okay, I'll be justifying things in my life. Hey, this brother's doing it here, and I love this brother, he's very spiritual. And he asked me, is that where you want to stop? Junior, is that where you want to go? And I don't even want to mention names, but there are specific men, godly men, that can even be a hindrance in your life if they're not telling you the teachings of Jesus. If people are pointing in the ways of Christ, and the teachings of Jesus and are consistent, we need to follow those truths. But we have to go on into obedience, 100% obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will make us like He is. And I've been asking the Lord for, why are we not seeing more healings? Lord, I know. And God has revealed to me many things about the workings, how the enemy gets into people's lives. And we're going to be looking at some scripture in that. But I was also praying, Lord, what about healing? And He said, Junior, you be faithful with what I've given you. Well, just walk in obedience. I have some things for you to do right now. Just do them. And sharing this word here was one of them. God asked me to come and share this word. And I texted Aaron, told him I'm coming. And I told the Lord, if this is actually of you, you make it happen. I don't care. I don't care about my life. I have a short time to live. Heaven is before me. Jesus is coming. And I've seen enough of powerless Christianity that it makes me sick. I want to see a church that is turning the world upside down. Through how? Through obedience. Each one of us yielding ourselves 100% to the teachings of Jesus. So that God could operate properly. I want to take you into a... We're going to go to a... Well, I wanted to share one other thing about it. And those scriptures are things I'm sharing from Scripture. I can't turn to all these references. So dig into Scripture yourself. But I want to share just shortly here about demons having to be rebuked away. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, which he'll do that, the same thing to a Christian that is walking in holiness. When you're walking in holiness and you've been free in Christ, you're full of the Lord, the enemy will come from the outside. He has no access to your heart because you have not yielded. So these demons, or the Satan himself, was attacking Jesus. And he didn't just deny himself of the bread that was offered. He said, Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. He had different truths that he shared with the devil. And the devil tried to intimidate him even by quoting Scripture, wanting him to yield. But Jesus didn't deny away the bread. He rebuked him in the name of Jesus. It's that simple. The enemy needs to be rebuked away when he's working in whatever. And then you also, personally, we need to deny the flesh. We have to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because His servant you're going to become to whom you obey. And I want to say that habitual sin is next to impossible without yielded ground to the devil. If you're living in habitual sin, and it's something that has plagued you for years, I want you to know you can't just deny it away. You need somebody laying hands on you, breaking that stronghold of the enemy in the name of Jesus, binding it, commanding it to go, and then also walking in obedience to Scriptures. The enemy works its way into being. There's people addicted to alcohol, drugs, food, immorality, all kinds of ungodly things. And Christians, and gluttony, people yielding and yielding and yielding to the flesh. It gives the enemy ground to keep hanging on. The Spirit of God cannot fill an unclean vessel that is not yielding in obedience. It's very simple. And it's not impossible to gain obedience. Jesus would never have asked us to do the will of His Heavenly Father if we couldn't do it. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But they that do the will of the Heavenly Father. If Jesus says that, He's going to give us grace to do it. He's not going to ask us to do the impossible. Do you understand? It's possible. And another scripture, it says that God is coming to avenge wrath and judgment unto them that obey not the gospel. And then that know not God. So there's judgment coming to two groups of people. Them that are not walking in obedience, that are calling themselves Christians now, but are allowing sin in their life and disobedience. And them that don't know God. And so we need all of the Lord. So that in the life of Jesus, I just want to say that Jesus dealt with Satan when he was tempted into the devil. When the devil tempted him, he rebuked him away. And asked him to leave. And let's go to Acts chapter 5. So inside the church here, God has poured out the Holy Spirit into the life of the early church. And God has moved in amazing ways. There's been many people added to the church. There's a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also was privy to it, and bought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Ananias, a believer, why has Satan filled your heart? How can a born-again Christian be full of the devil? That's impossible. Some would say, because he yielded ground to the enemy. There's this new covenant Christianity. Covetousness. Insecurity. Hypocrisy. I don't care what it is, but he yielded. I don't know which one of them it was, but something caused him to yield himself over to Satan as a believer. And to lying to the Holy Ghost. And kept back part of the price of the land. Did he even open his mouth? Did he say one word? I don't know that it's recorded that he said anything. I mean before this. He brought in the money and laid it at the apostles. He gave an impression. You think the Spirit of God is not sensitive? He gave a wrong impression to the apostles. And in so doing was lying about his true intentions or his true act. And he gave ground to the devil to operate. That is reality. So how do you know if there's ground? How do I know if there's ground in my life being yielded? Are you walking in full obedience? That's how sensitive it is. Are you walking around trying to give people an impression about your spirituality? Of who you are? Do you say things sometimes because you want people to think you're this or you're that? God is sensitive. He will not fill an unclean vessel. He will walk in a yielded, obedient vessel. And any person can give legal rights for the enemy to operate inside of them or through them. It's influence. It's being oppressed by the devil. Christians might not be... I don't believe in being full of the Holy Ghost and the devil being in you. I don't believe in those things. I believe that you can yield ground, that His servant you are to whom you obey. The amount of yielding to the enemy will be the amount that is surrendered, the amount that's going to be operated in. Why? It has everything to do with authority. The kingdom of God works through authority, and the kingdom of the devil works through authority. That's why we've been given authority to ask Him to leave. After an area has been cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus. So I deal with people who have problems. So as we're praying, this person has complete confusion in their life. And the Lord revealed an act to me that had been committed 2 years ago where the enemy entered in. And it was clear. And I don't even like being with the person. I was praying for the individual and the Spirit of God revealed this is how the enemy entered into this person's life. And this is what needs the door that needs to be closed. And it was a habitual sin that had been committed. And I had not known this. Okay? But it was revealed by revelation. And this is not just, by the way, me. This is not we as a fellowship are beginning to experience. As we've been preaching God's Word and His truth, God has been liberating individuals. But it's a move of the Holy Spirit. And we're just learning and growing. But as the Lord revealed this specific sin and was repented, washed in the blood, the enemy left. It's that simple. There's nothing that God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to keep secret from you if it's going to help other people to walk with Jesus. God wants to help you as a mother, to help your children. God wants to help you as a father, be a proper authority. He wants you to hear His voice. And it's a voice of truth. It's a voice that will bring freedom and liberty to the captives. There's many people that are captive to sin and have strongholds in their lives. So how do we know strongholds? That's one way. Another way is the discerning of spirits. God can reveal specific spirits that are trying to attack certain people. There is demonic forces that as people yield that are assigned to attack individuals. It's all a chain of command. It's soldiers fighting an army. There's the army of Satan and there's the army of God and His obedient ones. And the enemy knows people's weaknesses. He's not going to attack me and go out and tell me to get drunk. I've never had a taste for alcohol or beer. It's not a problem. But I actually see the enemy attacking some people through alcoholic cravings, desires, and bringing circumstances to life, doing whatever he can to destroy. It doesn't matter how he does it. But we as Christians, God has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can actually know. The Spirit of God has been given to us. What is a word of knowledge? I remember being here at a leadership seminar, and a brother back somewhere stood up during the leadership seminar and said that there's an individual here with a certain sin in his life. I think it was homosexuality or whatever. It was revealed, and that individual repented. As I remember the story, it's been about a decade ago. But there's the gifts of knowledge are to know and understand what God wants to do. We're in the front lines and we're facing the enemy. And God will reveal things to us so we can move forward and help people get set free. And it's precious. There's precious liberty. Let me give you another picture in the Old Testament. This is absolutely amazing. This is in, I believe it's in 2 Kings. And the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." And the men of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. So it happened maybe 3 times, maybe 7 times. We don't know. But it happened more than once or twice that this happened. Therefore, the heart of the king was troubled of Syria. He called his servants, "Which one of you is showing to the king of Israel what's going on?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." God was revealing through prophet Elijah exactly what the enemy was planning, precisely. And he said, "Make sure you avoid this. Up ahead there's an ambush waiting." That is New Covenant Christianity. God has given to the church prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the edifying and the protection of the body. We need to be able to see clearly to warn. It's not any different. Elijah did not have a different Holy Spirit. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us if we walk in obedience, and He works through us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall dwell in your mortal body. The same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Prophet Elijah was not some special person. He was only yielded 100% obedient. He listened to God. Let me tell you a little bit about obedience in my life. You know, are you perfect then, you might ask? Are you not walking disobedient sometimes? Whenever God as God cleanses you and fills you with the Lord, when you fail, I can say within a couple seconds, I realize I had a wrong thought there, a wrong idea, or I said a wrong word. And you say, "I'm sorry, forgive me, brother," and you go on. Just that simple. It's not something that stays habitual in your life. Do you understand? It may be an attitude, it may be impatience, it may be whatever, but you don't live in any of that. God is teaching us obedience. And yes, it's through suffering at times, hurt, pain. You might be in a corner somewhere and you want to defend yourself, and God says, "Speak not a word." Brothers, the Christian life is so much more. When I think, okay, I've been invited to this Muslim debate, okay? There's a certain Christian that's been inviting me, you know, there's this debate going on where a Muslim and Christian going to stand and debate each other. You know, some of those things are so empty. It's unbelievable. You know how God wants to win the Muslim people and is doing it through obedient people? It's through healing. In Iran, there's healings and healings and healings happening. Why? It breaks through the darkest religion. And God is saving them. There's Muslims in Iran getting healed by the thousands. It's in Scripture. Believers are opening the Bible in a persecuted country and are believing it and are just doing it. We're living in a land of unbelief. Why did Jesus not do many miracles among His home people? Why did He not heal many people there? The Bible says because of their unbelief. Is that not Joseph, the son of Jesus, and describing all that? We know that guy. He's from this and that. And they had all these preconceived ideas. And they were a stronghold in their mind. And they even limited the Christ Himself. How many Christians are living that? I had pain in my knee. I've been playing too much sports in my years. I've played volleyball, hockey, whatever, my lifelong, as long back as I can remember. My knee started hurting. And I told the Lord, would you please completely heal my knee? I know I've not been perfect. I've played too much. And that. And you know what the Lord said? Junior, I've healed you, but you don't always believe it. He said, Lord, remove this rock in my heart so I can actually believe. Please, save me from the spirit of unbelief in our nation. And my pain's gone. The pain is totally gone, but occasionally I've come back a couple times. But I couldn't believe that it actually happened. My mind couldn't wrap its way around it. I've been so stupid to the unbelief in our nation. And all the distractions. Talk about distractions. Talk about people who want to be filled with the Holy Ghost for allowing so many distractions. Video games, movies, books, teachings, all kinds of things that are not from Scripture. Stop getting distracted in your life. Fill yourself with the Word. Especially movies and video games, they're all such garbage. There's so many lies in Hollywood, it's just a perpetuation of lies. I mean, I want to mention a comical video, Andy Griffith videos, okay? And a while back here, occasionally I would justify one, I needed to laugh, did that. And you know what the Lord showed to me? You know, here you have Otis stumbling in, just drunk and all that, and people, I started getting so incredibly grieved. And lie after lie that Andy can sing, you know. Andy was trying to convince Barney that he could sing, you know, and it was just lying, full of lies and deceit. And I know it's a bit funny, but it's demonic. The kingdom of the devil works on lies. The kingdom of Jesus Christ on solid truth. Solid truth. Holiness, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And God wants to do it in and through you. He wants to fill you. He wants to set us free. But here, as Elijah asked him to open the eyes, you know, later on now, they came and they said they're going to arrest Elijah, and his servant there is next to him, all trembling in fear. He did not have the faith of Elijah. And the Lord told the Lord, God, we just open his eyes briefly so he could see. And he sees the hosts of heaven around Elijah. That's reality. So many of us don't see what's going on. May God open our eyes to see as Elijah saw. Amen. In New Covenant Christianity, eye has not seen, in 1 Corinthians 2, it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He searches the hearts, the minds, the motives. When you as a Christian have a wrong motive, simple wrong motive for looking, for doing, He's showing it to you. But are you listening? Are you yielding? God is always speaking. You know why? Because He wants all of you. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, He wants all of you. He wants to fill you with life, with truth, with absolute freedom in Christ. It's precious. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Of God. God is revealing these things to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Brother, how long can I preach? Okay. Thank you, brother. I'm sorry if it's taking long. If you need to get a drink of water. There's many precious truths that the Lord has shared with me here. That I want to read some more scriptures. This is truth. I want to read some scripture from 2 Corinthians 10. Paul beseeches us. And now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you, I beseech you that I may not be bold where I am present with this confidence, where I think it to be bold against some which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Castles, fortresses. And we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, against the knowledge of God. So in the battle that is raging for the soul, the enemy starts with the thoughts and he starts injecting thoughts, especially as he sees you yielding to the flesh. But that's where our battle lies. If you can walk in holiness in Christ, as you recognize this is not from the Lord. It's not in obedience to Christ, and it's not in accordance to Scripture. It's not a right attitude. It's not a right thought. And that's where the battle lies, and we pull them down. And you need to see them for what they are. It's the penetrating lies of the enemy trying to shoot in there. And we can look at the same thing there in the fiery darts of the wicked one, where it talks about in Ephesians 6 about the battle that is raging. We pull down every high thing, exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the level of obedience that God requires and wants you to walk in. That the battle is up here, and as the thoughts come that are not right, you just put them aside, you don't yield to them. It doesn't progress any further. There's no emotions involved. There's no... You know, when you're first tempted, like Jesus was tempted of the devil for that bread, the reason his emotions were not involved and his heart, it had never yielded to that. Okay, so the ground was clean and it was holy and it was full of the Lord. So he just rebuked him, told him to go away. When you yield to the enemy, you will notice your emotions start getting involved. And all of a sudden you're desiring things as a Christian that you know this desire is not right. This is not New Covenant Christianity. Why is my heart being pulled in this direction? Why are my emotions even wanting that? Didn't Jesus say, doesn't it say in Ezekiel, I will give you a brand new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, you shall fulfill my judgments and do them? Why are my emotions involved? If any man being Christ is a brand new creature, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You've yielded. When it's at the level where your heart is involved, even desiring whatever. I remember as a businessman thinking, this one, quoting Christian here, went in and bought a brand new Suburban. And I'm like, that guy is so far from in the will of God. This is unbelievable. And I was like, in my heart, this is ridiculous. Why would somebody want to spend $65,000 on this thing? You know, as I began making money in business, suddenly my heart, I started giving in other decisions, you know, covetousness or lust or other desires. All of a sudden, my emotions started desiring the same thing. And then I began planning, how could I justify it? And then I realized I had fallen. I had fallen into a pit very deep where the enemy was just moving my emotions around in my heart. And I knew this is not where Jesus operated from. This is not the level that the apostles lived in. This is impossible. Why would I as a Christian even want to go there? And I had to start repenting and clearing things out and yielding that ground back and asking God to forgive me and cleanse me. And we need to go back, cleaning out those things. It never needs to get to the place where your heart is pulling you along into all kinds of lusts and desires. You've been given a brand new heart. Keep it clean. All of a sudden, your emotions and your desires are going to start desiring what's right. Even David experienced that in the Psalms. His heart was so after the Lord. Why? He was an obedient man. Except when he went out, didn't go out to battle. The enemy kept him back. There was a small compromise made, and it led to greater compromises until he stood in front of the prophet. He had completely lost his way. And the prophet told him, David, this is what's going on. And completely had to help him clear out. David had lost his way. And except for a voice of God from a prophet, he would have, I'm not sure where he would have been if that Nathan wouldn't have been faithful. Do you see that? It's a battle. But David had yielded his mind, then his emotions, and he started acting upon them. It's the same battle. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of are the issues of life. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. For you're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. He has cleansed us, He has washed us, and He wants us to fill us. A church, as a church gets cleansed and filled, and you're free, truly free in Christ, absolutely walk in obedience, you're going to experience more and more of God's graces coming in through obedience and faithfulness. I'm not sure if I'm free to share some of these things, but I'm going to step out on a limb a little bit. But as we've been yielding, different brothers and sisters to the Lord, there's revelation being given. There's even some speaking in tongues. And there's movements out there. About 10 years ago, I was in alone in my closet, and the Lord just started flowing into my heart, and I started praying in tongues. And occasionally I use it when it's needed. It's a prayer language. It's not complicated. It doesn't need to be lifted anywhere. But it's just a free spirit in the Lord, and it's a language God gives. And He gave it to Cornelius there, and He gave it to, and I could take you to two different scriptures where He gave it to the Gentiles. First to the Jews, then He also gave it to the Gentiles. And they had already been speaking in the same language, in the same room. Even in the upper room, there's two instances in Acts chapter 2 where there's tongues given. One of them is in the prayer group, as the 120 were there, filled with the Holy Ghost. And another one, in the next chapter, they went out and preached, and people understood in their own language. So you've got different things working there, but that's not something I want to make a big issue out. But when you're free in the Lord, the God Spirit flows. And don't be afraid. One of the things that we also had to repent of, very strongly repent, and this is a warning. When there's healing ministries that are not following all the truth, you know, they allow all kinds of things in there, maybe immodesty and fornication, a lot of things happening in there. Then people will go and stamp whole movements as being of the devil. And when Jesus was, the disciples were brought, came to Him and said, there's people casting out people, demons in your name over there. He said, He that is not with us is for us. He that is against us is for us. And there's these words there. I'm not quoting them precisely, but you know the scriptures there. What I want to say is, there's a lot of, just because some people don't follow all of the scriptures and all of the truth, we must be so careful in not taking movements and people and just throwing, this is of the devil. This is of the enemy. This is of the devil. We can't be doing that. I had to repent. There's men and preachers out there that are experiencing, like the Passion for the Christ is going to be down in Omaha. There's a whole group of people with mixed teachers in there and all that. And it's very confusing because not the full gospel gets preached. Okay? But God saves people in there. And I used to look at things and say, hey, Lord is working incredibly. There's 100, you know, there's thousands of people actually giving their lives to Christ. So the gift of an evangelist might be there, and some people might get saved. Okay, then they go back to their homes. Some, and they don't continue in the teachings of Jesus. So some will say, oh, that movement is, that's not of the Lord. That's of the devil. We can't be doing those type of things. God is at work in multiple places, multiple times, doing different things. And just because people don't adhere fully to the Scriptures doesn't make it all of the devil. Because you can be painting what the Holy Ghost is doing as being demonic. And Christians have done that. I used to, you know, just blanket statements on movements because I saw some Scriptures that were not fulfilled. Okay, so say there's a marriage and a divorce couple doing some healing somewhere. And people are actually getting, you know, saved, and there's some getting healed, and there's actually demons coming out of people. Well, that's a divorced couple. That's not of the Lord, and isn't that? But the Holy Spirit might be working through them, But ministries like that just don't continue stably. They can't. Because wherever truth of God is not followed, there's no foundation. God has given us the Scriptures and the teachings of Jesus in full as a foundation. So in, remember the, where Jesus said, but we've prophesied in thy name and we've cast out devils. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Did he ever rebuke them for casting out devils? Is it possible to cast out devils in the name of devils? Do demons cast demons out? No. They did it in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. But they did not walk in obedience. Iniquity is disobedience. There was people that had authority in their life, but no obedience. And so those type of teachings are built on sand. Eventually those movements fall apart. And they morph into something else. And that keeps happening because God's people are not obedient. We have to have all the teachings of Jesus. There's safety in the Word of God and in everything Jesus has commanded us to do, including non-resistance and modesty. You know, all the teachings, it's a protection and a foundation of truth. But it doesn't give the rights to those walking inside of some of these scriptural truth to go out there and say, this is all of the devil. Maybe we need some of that power in our own lives. Maybe you need the power to heal people, to lay hands on a pew. But you've already stated this over there is of the devil. Be careful. And if the Spirit of God, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be discerning. That is not the point. The point is we need to be careful in what we say. Jesus was so careful. When He dealt with demons or He dealt with movements, they were very precise. He identified things correctly and directly. Even with the Pharisees, it was perfect precision. He didn't blanket statement the wrong people even, or people group. Isn't it amazing that Paul said, where in pretense or in truth, wherein Christ is preached, therein I rejoice. How come so few Christians can do that? Let's be careful. So that's one of the things the Lord has revealed to me. And then another bondage I had in my life is I used to think that the apostles had special giftings. It's okay, so there's the 12 apostles. They were given special gifts and it's limited to them. Okay? We cannot as Christians expect these types of things in our life. I want to take you to Acts. It's chapter 6. Just the next chapter. In the days when the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not a reason that we leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, look you out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. How many of these 7 men were apostles? None is the answer. 7 men that God chose here that it says they were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. What comes with that? What comes when you're full of the Holy Ghost? Let's read. And seeing the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and all these names. I'm not so good with all those names. So the 7 men. And they set them before the apostle. When they prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multitude in Jerusalem greatly. And great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Here was a young man that was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith, he was full of power, and he was doing miracles. He was not an apostle. He was an obedient disciple of Jesus. So take that out of your mind. Faith is the victory. Jesus says
To him that believeth, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith, we grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from power to power, from faith to faith, obedience to obedience. Stephen was full of faith when he opened his mouth. Just read about his preaching sermon. I do not believe for a minute he had a Bible in his hand. And he goes through the whole history of the land of Israel, starting from Abraham, and he preached about the patriarchs, he preached about David, and he goes through some of their history. Why? That young man had filled himself with the Word of God. The Word of God was part of his life. And what happened? It filled him with faith. Faith is knowing the heart and mind and will of God. He was full of it. He knew exactly what God was thinking. And he spoke to them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." He spoke to the heart of God and it was broken. Was it accepted? No. It's not always accepted. Why? Because there's people that are glad to defend the devil in their lives. There's Christians that will defend the devil. Why? Some through ignorance. And some through willful disobedience, because they want to keep living the life they're living. And they're stubborn. And they need to repent in the name of Jesus. There's Christians that are stubborn. And I want to tell you, when you're stubbornly not yielding to Christ, you're protecting the enemy inside the body of Christ. And you're keeping the glory of God from coming. Just like Achan. As he stole there, those Babylonian garments, and wanted to keep that sin there. There's Christians that defend their disobedience because their heart and emotions are caught up with things that are not of God, not of Christ. God wants to set you free. Why? He wants more Stephens. And it's not limited to men. It's women the same thing. God has used women so many times. You can pray, you can discern, you can tear down things of the enemy. You can be so filled with the Lord. How? Through obedience. Simple obedience. The enemy doesn't have to be dragging us in a circle. Hallelujah. Wherein in times past, we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of the devil that is now working in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit behind disobedience. The Bible calls it that. The spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience. There's a demonic force. And the spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Who? Christians. They shall depart from the faith, the full obedience to the gospel. And they shall be filled with what? Seducing spirits, speaking lies of the enemy. And it's not limited to these lies that Paul revealed here. Some of these lies were recorded here. Some of these lies of the devil. They're going to forbid to marry, if command you to abstain from meats which God has created to be received. Those are just some of those lies. But seducing spirits produce all kinds of lies. We have dealing with false doctrine. Okay, there's should say the Seventh-day Adventists and the seducing spirits and the doctrines inside of that movement. So it influenced our church for a little bit in one individual. Anyway, and here, just convincing him that all the unbelievers get completely destroyed to ashes, that there's nothing left of them. And the Bible speaks clearly about eternal punishment. So, but these seducing spirits will always excuse away scriptures. They're undermining lies that will contradict biblical truth. Amen. How about when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come? In John 16, verse 13, He will guide us into all truth. He will guide us. The Holy Spirit that God has given is going to guide us who are hungry, who are open, who are teachable. He's going to guide us into all truth. There's no truth that He's not going to show us that we need, because He wants us
He wants to fill us. He wants to free us. He wants to give us life. God wants to give us life. The life of Jesus. And He's going to reveal all the truth to us. And He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He shall show you things to come. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If any man love Me, Jesus said, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and will come unto him, make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keeps not My sayings, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you when I was yet present with you, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. Hallelujah. What a precious promise. And bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Let us open our hearts to God and allow Him to have His will and way. Brother, I want to thank you. I think that concludes some of the word the Lord has given me. There's more things I could share, but I feel the Lord wants me to end there. And I just want to say I love you all. I have no other agenda than to desire each and every one of you to be blessed with all that God has for you. And it's available for each and every one of us. Simply trust and obey. There is no other way. From the saints of old, new covenant, old covenant, persecution, China, Iran, just simple obedience. Do what it tells you. Amen.
Are we walking? Am I walking in obedience? I appreciate the zeal and the passion for truth and obedience. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." When the Word of God is preached and it comes to us, Jesus gave a parable. He said, after the Word of God is sown, then come the devil to snatch it away. Like the fowls of the air come to pick up the seed. Maybe something that was shared today challenges your theology a bit. But I want to encourage us, hear what God is saying to your heart. You know, we could maybe give an invitation and have people respond. I don't really sense that that's what God's saying here, but rather that we take this and allow the Lord to do a deep work in our hearts. You know, sometimes the most deepest work of God is not a decision made here on a Sunday morning, but it's as we wait upon the Lord and we search our heart, we get serious with God and open our heart and say, "Lord, show me. Why is my life so fruitless? Why am I drawn to these other things when at Thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore? Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I want You more than anything." God's going to meet with that heart. Is there someone that has a word from the Lord to share with us here. Mind the Holy Spirit of God, if there's someone that has a word to share, raise your hand and the ushers will get a microphone to you. Is there anyone that feels prompted of the Lord to share?
We are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him.
Amen. Thank you. The hand in the back.
I just want to say thank you for the preaching of the Word of God, and what a blessing this has been to my heart, and I'm sure to many others, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Junior, for preaching the Word to us. God bless you. Richard, you have a hand up front here.
I just want to say that this man is very passionate about his beliefs, and he actually loves people, and he loves us. And I can't say anything. That's very powerful. What he just said. I thank you. Thank you, brother. I really appreciated that. And occasionally I fall asleep, but I couldn't fall asleep with him.
Praise God. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Junior, for this word. I was blessed. I did find the scripture you're looking for in Numbers 33:55. If you will not drive out the inhabitants, those you allow to remain shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and vex you. My paraphrase.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.